Kickoff to the Final Whistle. Your front row seat to college football lives here on 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Final hour of the program here on a Wednesday with Fax and Childress and John Height on 105.5, 97.5 The Roar. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to check in. Hey, real quick, folks, it's getting colder outside. Enjoy those cozy nights at home. Make the most of the football season and into the winter season with the efficient and reliable choice of natural gas at Fort Hill Natural Gas. They've got you covered, man. Whether it's keeping your home warm, heating your water, or firing up the grill, natural gas is clean, cost-effective, and it's always there when you need it. During the cold weather months, let Fort Hill Natural Gas keep your family comfortable and your energy bills low. Again, Fort Hill Natural Gas, FHNGA.com today. Score big on some savings here with the cold weather with the folks at Fort Hill Natural Gas. All right, into the final hour of the program. Daryl was a great caller in from Boiling Springs, and he was asking about maybe incorporating Matt Fuller into this running back room a little bit more for South Carolina. His physical profile has a chance to bolster a run game that's been one of the worst in the country to date. So I've got these total rushing stats up for you, John. Right now, South Carolina is 121 out of 136 teams in total rushing. They're averaging just shy of 100 yards per game on the ground. They're averaging 2.9 yards per carry as a team. 172 attempts, 499 yards for the Gamecocks on the ground this year. And, you know, again, we whiffed wholeheartedly on our Clemson prediction. My pick on South Carolina so far has been pretty spot on, and this was my biggest hesitancy, was their fans did not give Rocket Sanders enough credit in real time for just working miracles last year, because that O-line wasn't all that great last year either. Sanders had so many times where he would get hit at or behind the line of scrimmage. You could think back to the Clemson game, too, where this happened, and he would just throw guys off of him. And I'm talking about, like, linebackers, like grown men and dudes at the college football level. I thought his departure was really undervalued by their fan base, and the difference in profile between Faison and Adway and, you know, a couple of these other guys versus a guy like Sanders that's more physical has really hindered South Carolina's ability to find anything stable in the run game thus far. Point blank, you can't beat LSU if you're not able to establish the run in this game. South Carolina has to be able to show some sort of pulse in the run game to go to Baton Rouge and win.
So the team with 50 yards rushing wins?
Yeah. I mean, it's first to 75 maybe with rushing thus far.
Goodness gracious.
Where's LSU? I'm going to see where LSU stacks up in total rushing real quick. Stand by for a second.
Yeah, I can't imagine that it's going to be infinite. But, you know, knowing the way that I've been reading things as of late, especially within the Pick'em contest, LSU's going to be like ninth or something stupid in the country like that.
So they're 118th.
Okay, that makes a lot more sense.
They're three spots above South Carolina, and their stats look pretty similar. 3.6 yards per carry, just over 100 yards a game for LSU. Clemson's also involved in this down here at 115th.
Okay, so we don't talk about that.
Yeah, so not ideal there by any means.
They're not playing in this game.
They're not. They're playing the Boston College Eagles, who are the fifth worst team in the country running. So a lot of great opponents down here at the bottom of the total rushing quota on ESPN. But in all seriousness, these are two teams that really struggle for similar reasons, I would say. You feel good about your quarterback. You don't feel good about keeping him upright. You like the talent in the running back room. You don't like the way that your offensive line is blocking for those guys, and you haven't been able to get any push. Let's talk defensive side of the ball. If there's been a most improved unit in the country from last year to this year, it's Blake Baker's LSU defense. I mean, I know that they lost the game on the road to Ole Miss. If you're holding Lane Kiffin to 24 points, that's a game you anticipate to win. That's a game you should win. You go in with that circled on the board against Lane Kiffin. Yeah, get me to 25 and we can win it against an Ole Miss defense. I'll take that deal 10 times out of 10 running for the hills if I'm LSU. Unfortunately for the Tigers, they weren't able to do such on the road in Oxford. So they've had 2 weeks to prepare for this one, John. Do you like LSU's chances more with that extra week of preparation? Do you think it makes a ton of impact? Because South Carolina had the same bye week of week six, so you get both sides having 2 weeks of prep.
I think that could also kind of cancel itself out, that both were coming in or coming off of a bye into this contest.
Yeah.
I think for me, the biggest takeaway for this game is Texter 2062. I could not say it better myself. For South Carolina to beat LSU, they're going to have to turn Sellers loose. They need him to run off schedule a lot. Yeah, I think that's like the only path here.
Yeah.
I think if you're playing straight up football, LSU wins and covers the 9.5. Like, outside of Sellers just playing YOLO ball, which he's incredible at.
It's one of the most electric watches in the sport.
I'm not trying to say, like, I'm not saying it as a negative. If he tries to play within the confines of Mike Shula's offense and he is not given the ability or does not take the opportunity to just go out there and create, I mean, this is like a 31-10 game LSU. It's not remotely competitive.
LSU's got better players. Well, they're more physical. Their defense has been dominant.
Look at that secondary.
Offenses. Yeah.
As good as that, we saw that unit in person in week one.
Those safeties, man. They want to kill you if you're coming over the middle.
So against South Carolina and these pass catchers?
Yeah.
Like, that's the only option, and you don't have a run game. The only way South Carolina wins this game is if Sellers, throws for 250 and runs for, 110 himself.
You need hero ball.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because without it, I just don't see, straight-up football reasons. That or you're going to need, two punt return touchdowns.
I'm just worried, this is the thing for me, and I, to be completely honest, I'd like to take South Carolina. In the contest, I prefer taking the teams with the points because especially in conference games and rivalries, there's emotions, you get parity, and it ends up close more times than not. My main hesitation is just, how are you getting push against that defensive line? We use the term coverage sack a lot. I think there's going to be a lot of actual sacks in this game where the D-line is just completely, throwing South Carolina's O-linemen aside, and then you throw the different element of that, which is the defensive backs have been so good, the wide receivers have struggled for South Carolina. I'm struggling to see a path to winning the game that, to your point, does not involve some level of hero ball for Sellers and or a defensive/special teams touchdown, maybe two. Which, again, we've seen Sellers will the team into the game on their own against Clemson specifically. We've seen Beamer ball. Beamer ball's the only reason you beat Virginia Tech, if we're being completely honest with ourselves here. So we've seen this path to success happen over the course of the last couple years, but for all of those things to click, with LSU at home in a primetime game coming off a loss and coming off a bye week where they had to sit in it for an extra week, I don't know, man. I think I'm taking LSU by double digits here. I think South Carolina is capable of competing, but this screams 27-14 to me, LSU over Carolina.
I like the score. I don't know if I'm there yet, but I think that's a pretty good read. I'm still not 100% certain that LSU covers the number because I also don't know if this... I still think that these players hate Brian Kelly, and I get it. I probably would, too. It's I just don't know where LSU is, mentally coming into this, with dealing with the injury with Garrett Nussmeier. But I just think they have more football answers than South Carolina does in this spot. So I'm tending to agree with you, intending to... when I do turn my picks in, leaning LSU covering that number.
Agreed. 062 does make a good counterpoint and says Ole Miss was able to rush three and get to Nussmeier regularly. Carolina should be able to do something similar. I do agree with that. I think the way that South Carolina's defense has played so far this season is very encouraging. I think the player development structure there with Clayton White on the defensive side of the ball is a lot better than maybe even South Carolina fans realized, right? A lot of these guys have been thrust into new opportunities, like a Fred Johnson Jr. at linebacker, and they've excelled in those opportunities. So I do think South Carolina is going to be able to throw some things LSU's way that are going to throw them off track and off
absolutely,
schedule.
Absolutely, yes.
But I see more paths to winning the football game at home for a team like LSU.
South Carolina is going to find success in this game.
I just
don't know if it'll be enough.
Yes. I like that way of kind of spelling things out. Let's get Lake Murray Michael a little shout out real quick, John, because something I always like to identify is when people are getting in from not weird places but different places on the text line. Lake Murray Michael's in Olympia, Greece, visiting the Olympic ruins where the first games were played in 776 BC, and he's sending pictures in. Shout out to our guy Lake Murray Michael on the text line. This is some mind-boggling stuff that we're getting to look through. A lot of great artifacts, a lot of great views, a lot of great scenes. Definitely envious of that. So how about that? I guess we're streaming the Roar app overseas today over in Greece.
I have used the Roar app internationally, and I'm glad to hear. I have not heard from anybody using it in Greece, so shout out to Lake Murray Michael. We appreciate you listening all the way over there. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome to see. One, the pictures that he is sending in are absolutely incredible.
Insane.
But also to see, to know that the Roar mobile app works worldwide. It's awesome to see.
Shout out to the great folks with the app as well, doing great work. All right, 654-ROAR if you'd like to check in. A couple more texters on South Carolina before we shift gears. Everybody that's beaten South Carolina since Illinois has played zone D in a three-man D line. Supposedly LSU plays strictly man, and maybe that gives Lenoris the chance to create freelance, is what texter 694 says. I actually agree with this. I think that Illinois kind of gave a blueprint on how to beat South Carolina, which is unfortunate for Clemson because it happened the week after the Clemson game in the bowl game, or 2 weeks after. But I think if Clemson would have employed a lot of the principles that Illinois did to slow down South Carolina, that result of the game would have had different impact. Now, obviously, the Tigers made the playoff regardless, and it didn't end up impacting the national championship picture. I don't think Clemson was good enough to win it with that run defense last year. But that's definitely an intriguing point from 694 on the text line. A lot of people just don't respect South Carolina's offensive line enough to line up four down linemen or to stack the box, so they're going to play light boxes and almost dare you to run. The main goal for me, if I'm a football coach and I'm playing South Carolina, keep Lenoris Sellers in the pocket and find a way to get the ball out of his hands as quickly as possible, and
right,
and make everybody else on the field beat you.
I agree with the text. I agree with your statement. Here's going to be my pushback. I think all those teams that have been able to capitalize against South Carolina like that, I think LSU's got better linebackers.
Yeah.
I think LSU can afford to only rush a couple because I think the 14 Weekses and Harold Perkins on that roster all have incredible closing speed and have very good eye discipline and are very good with their run pursuit angles.
Yeah.
I think LSU's defense actually can afford to only rush three because of the play of their linebackers and those safeties.
I'm really interested to see what Blake Baker cooks up. I think he's had a phenomenal game plan in literally every game they've played this season, so I think that's going to be a really nice matchup to watch, and I'm just intrigued to watch this against the Gamecocks this upcoming weekend. Definitely a crucial juncture in the season for both of these teams and programs, respectively. All right, let's talk a little more SEC ball. Would you like to go to College Station, or would you like to go to Jordan Herr first? Where would you like to...
Jordan Herr!
All right, let's go to Jordan Herr.
Jordan Herr!
All right, 7:30 p.m. ABC at Jordan Herr Stadium in Auburn, Alabama, on the Plains, and Hugh Freeze, his butt's starting to get a little bit warm. Let's put it that way.
Starting to.
0-2 in SEC play. In all fairness, 7-point loss that was really a 5-point loss because of the safety, and then a 6-point loss. Like, they've been very, very competitive against two of the 10 best teams in the country, but if we're giving out competitive losses awards, I guess you do play in the right conference because you're still going to get that bump from the media if you're Auburn. It ain't getting any easier, Hugh. Let's just say that right now. Next two games of Georgia and Missouri, at least they're both coming to your place, and then you get a little bit of a breather before Alabama at the end, but a third loss would completely ruin their chances of going to Atlanta and or the college football playoff, surely, right?
For Auburn?
Yes.
Those chances are already gone. I just don't know how you can look at what they've put on tape this season and think that they can actually accomplish much of anything. When I look at this game, to me, it's about something has to give here. Jackson Arnold will hold on to the football for 3.5 years if given the opportunity. Georgia can't rush the passer. What's going to give? Will Georgia actually get home and sack somebody? Or will Jackson Arnold actually throw the football?
Yeah.
Something has to give here. I don't know what's going to come out of it. That to me, like, all joking aside, is the biggest thing I'm trying to figure out for this game. Because if Georgia can get home and actually rush the passer with some dudes, that, you know, putting their hand in the dirt, this game's over. And Hugh Freeze can go ahead and start packing the moving truck and go find himself a nice house with a really good golf course membership. But on the other end, if Jackson Arnold actually chooses to decisively get rid of the football quickly, Georgia may be in for a fight.
I got to be honest, I'm really struggling to process Georgia having defensive issues at all, especially on the D-line with the edge players. Like, that's something that's breaking my brain, and I haven't really... Like, you're 100% right. That's the biggest... You could ask any Georgia fan, and Lord knows I know enough of them, what the biggest issue with this football team is right now, and it's pass rush, and it's consistency on defense, and it's discipline on defense, to which has me going... What? Wait, so three things that have been a staple of your identity in the entire Kirby Smart era, which is disrupting the passer, playing better defense than everyone, and playing disciplined defense and getting off the field consistently. those are your issues right now, and the offense is actually good, and it's good in the passing game. I feel like we're living in some backwards reality with Georgia football in 2025, but it's what the tape has showcased us thus far, and this team has a long way to go on the defensive side of the ball, man. That's the biggest weakness right now for this Georgia Bulldog team. And listen, you look at this schedule, this is a big game for Georgia. This is a really, really, really big game for Georgia. I can't emphasize that enough. Ole Miss at home the next week. Then you got the cocktail party. You're on the road at the Bulldogs playing in Stark Vegas. Then you've got Texas, and then you're playing Georgia Tech in the Benz. Four of those teams could give you troubles with the way that Georgia has looked thus far. So I don't think this is your typical lock them, bolster them into the playoff Georgia team that's just going to roll the ball out and beat everybody by 20 because they've got better players than you. That's just not what college football is anymore, and that also applies to Georgia. So we'll take a quick break, and on the other side, we'll talk about what's Auburn's path to an upset victory in this game. Can Hugh Freeze notch a signature win, or are Kirby Smart's Bulldogs going to overwhelm the Tigers on the Plains and be just too much to handle? Find out on the other side of a quick break here with Faxon and John on the Roar, and keep getting in with us at 654 Roar.
You've waited all summer for the weather to get a little cooler. Now it's getting a little cooler. Why don't you join about 2,000 of your coolest friends every Thursday night for Jazz on the Alley in downtown Seneca? It's outside dining, great live music, and you come on and join the party. Here's just a few sounds. Want to bring your chairs just in case, because the tables and chairs go very quickly. And then join us every Thursday night at 5:30 for the Happy Hour Artists. This is a chance for up and rising young emerging artists to debut their talents right here at Jazz on the Alley. It's every Thursday night. If you want to know what's happening and who's playing, it's so easy. Just follow us on Facebook at Seneca SC Events. And then grab your friends, your cool friends, and join about 2,000 of your other friends every Thursday night right here in downtown Seneca for a little jazz.
Get ready for a night of soul-stirring bluegrass. Balsam Range. American Acoustic Bluegrass is coming to the Wahala Performing Arts Center on October 24th. This award-winning band blends Appalachian tradition with modern energy, delivering tight harmonies, masterful musicianship, and unforgettable storytelling. Don't miss your chance to see one of the most celebrated acts in bluegrass live on stage. Showtime is 7:30 p.m. Tickets available now at wahalapac.com. That's wahalapac.com.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
I need a good plumber fast.
I always call One Tom Plumber.
One Tom what?
Here, dial the number one, then Tom Plumber. Or just tell your smartphone to call One Tom Plumber. They promise to be there in an hour.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Hartwell Village is your one-stop shopping experience at the intersection of Tiger Boulevard and Pendleton Road in Seneca. With 15-plus retail and dining locations, including Buff City Soap, Rack Room Shoes, Marshalls, Petco, Five Below, Uptown Cheapskate, and Ulta. Dine with friends at Tipsy Taco, Iso Iso Ramen and Boba, Five Guys, Longhorn, or Chipotle. And after a day full of fun, refuel before you hit the road at 7-Eleven. Hartwell Village wishes Clemson fans a happy shopping experience and a fantastic football season. Go Tigers!
Did you know that Ingles sells a huge variety of organic items? Or that they run their own dairy? Or that they only serve USDA Choice and Prime meat? Did you know that they have more local craft beer than any place else? Or that they have Energy Smart stores? Or that they professionally slice and package imported cheese from Europe? Did you know about their giant international aisle, local farm partnerships, curbside pickup, wine department? Or that they donate 3,956 meals a day to local food banks? Well, now you do. It's all in the bag. Ingles, low prices, love the savings.
Cold weather is just around the corner. Be ready for Old Man Winter by shopping the Craft Stove Store and Patio for all your fireplace needs. Shop over 20 models of vented and vent-free propane or natural gas logs that heat for just pennies an hour and use no electricity, keeping you warm and cozy even during a power failure. Shop and save now at the Craft Stove Store and Patio for everything your hearth desires. 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard.
Craft Stove Store and Patio.
Turning 65? Don't make a mistake you'll regret for the rest of your life. Get the plan that fits you. Call today, 467-8738. I'm Guy, the insurance guy, and what we do is simple. We make health insurance easier.
It's time to give your lawn the attention it deserves with Carolina Top Dressing. Is your fescue looking thin? Our expert fescue overseeding service paired with aeration is just what you need. But here's the secret. Without top dressing, much of that precious seed goes to waste. Why? Because seed needs soil contact to grow. At Carolina Top Dressing, we make sure every seed finds its place, whether it's in the aeration holes or covered by our premium top dressing mix. Don't let your investment go to waste. Visit CarolinaTopDressing.com to book your service today.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit CantyCanFixIt.com.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, the Scratch Kitchen delivers lunch in the clutch. I mean, where else can you order a 29-degree draft beer and a quickie combo on your lunch break? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Powered by Upcountry Fiber, we are 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Providing fiber internet, HD TV, and phone service, Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
You've got questions, we've got answers. Get your questions in daily on the Adams & Co. Roofing text line at 654-ROAR. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Final hour of the program continues with Fax and Childress and John Haidt here on 105.5 at 97.5 The Roar. We're talking a little Georgia football. I guess ain't nothing finer in the land. Well, except maybe an Ole Miss Rebel, I guess, maybe a little bit later on the schedule. I think that's a team that could get them. I'm also kind of looking down the line here. What about Florida? Could Florida get Georgia this year? I don't know. I'm rooting for Georgia to make the playoff. I'll just be honest about that. I think it creates an entertaining game every time Georgia's in a playoff game. But the more I look at this schedule, the more I have some worry about whether that's a lock or not. Like, I feel like Georgia in these last 5 years has ascended to a team that you can just bookmark into the playoff. This is the first year that I have not been comfortable to bookmark Georgia into the playoff at the end of the year. So it's going to be interesting to see. But this weekend, they've got those Auburn Tigers. Let's talk about the path here. I know that we don't want Auburn to win this game, and this is probably the only time you'll ever get John rooting for Georgia. So if you're a dog fan, John is with you this weekend for maybe one time and one time only this season. But there is a path here for this team, given the spread, given what we've seen on tape, and I've got to give an immense amount of credit where it's due. I actually think this is a really good defense for Auburn. Like, I want to date this back to the Baylor game. Is Baylor going to be held under 25 points again this season? It feels like they roll the ball out and put up 40 on everybody they play, regardless of who the opponent is. Then you look at OU, and they've been given a ton of credit for Mateer and all the strides that they've made on offense. They scored a touchdown in this game that was illegal. They had a safety that Oklahoma took at the end to be able to kind of get that point spread evened out. And all of a sudden, you're in a position where you really only gave up 20 points of offense to that Oklahoma team. You only gave up 16 points on the road in College Station. Are we giving enough credit to the Auburn defense would be my question.
No, we are not. But you have Hugh Freeze and all the money that has been spent on that offense. Like, as much as I can give credit to the Auburn defense for being better than I thought it was going to be, all of the messaging out of the Plains is the offense, our brilliant offensive mind, our big investment in our quarterback. Nobody has better playmakers than us. And if that's your messaging, then you should be able to score more than 31 on South Alabama, more than 10 on A&M, and more than 17 on Oklahoma. So, like, yes, the defense has been better, but the whole calling card of this coach, the whole messaging around this staff and everything was about to be offense, offense, offense. And it hasn't existed yet this season. And I think if we've seen this Georgia secondary, I think it's fair to say arguably the worst in the Kirby Smart era.
Yeah, 100%. Maybe the worst since I've been alive.
Since you've been a conscious human being. Since I've been a conscious human being. It's got to mean it's the worst second that's ever occurred down there in Athens. So if you don't do it here, man, like then what is the whole point of keeping you around? Because the whole thing is offense. Offense mind. Elite offense. And we're not seeing any of it. And so if this is the get-right spot for the Georgia defense, goodbye. Good as gone, man. As good as gone. Because we were joking during the break, but there has to be some truth to it, right? If NIL in paying for players is now a university expense, then it would make sense to why you would move a football game to get $5 million extra dollars to help the line items, to help the budget out. This is a Cook staff, a Cook team. And I think Georgia, to me, this is probably one of my easier picks of the weekend. I think Georgia goes down there and absolutely demolishes them. Because I know that Kirby Smart, when he wakes up Saturday morning, is going to be filled with hate in his heart. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Kirby Smart looks at Auburn and just sees, I have to destroy. That same mentality is not at Auburn. Like, Kirby's bred for this. He's bred for, like, these three games a year for Georgia.
There are a couple opponents right, that he like, just owns.
One that he will not care. I mean, Kirby Smart's two collegiate stops that I'm aware of are in Athens and in Tuscaloosa. What do those things have in common? They hate Auburn.
They hate Auburn.
Right? Like, it's not a good spot for the Auburn Tigers. I don't disagree with some of the issues you've pointed out with Georgia. Georgia certainly has issues. But I don't believe that this is the spot that they could be taken advantage of.
Kirby Smart 9-1 against Auburn in his career as a coach in the SEC, and I think that's probably going to be 10-1. Does that seem fair?
Very fair.
All right, I'm going to pick. I'm going to pick Georgia to. I don't know if it's going to be a drubbing, but I do think that they're going to win pretty comfortably.
I don't think it's going to be a drubbing on the scoreboard, but I think when you watch it at a down in and down out basis, you're just. I think Georgia's just going to
better.
Take care. Yeah. They're just a better football team.
I'll go 30. Ooh. Actually, I'm going to go 28-17 Dogs over Tigers this weekend in the Plains, rather. And I'm trying to look at the rest of the schedule for Auburn, and I'm trying to just kind of like process where the win's going to come. I do think they're good enough to beat Arkansas. I think they're good enough to beat Kentucky.
Sure.
I think they could definitely potentially beat Vanderbilt. But this is going to be a situation where you look up at the end of the season, you hired Hugh Freeze to win the big game, the Alabama game, and you're going to have a bunch of wins over the bottom feeders in your conference. And every big game that you had a chance to get a signature win in, you fell short, which breeds the question, what are we doing here?
You're giving them the Vanderbilt game. I'm not. Like
Vanderbilt might be better than Auburn.
Oh, yes. Like, if anything, I actually feel it was two red zone turnovers, you know, by Diego Pavia.
They were in that game.
Like, I feel, honestly, that was a confirmation bias to me about Vanderbilt last week. Like, that was self-inflicted. Vanderbilt very easily could have won that game. And that's still a very, very good football team. I still think leaps and bounds better than Auburn at this point.
Yeah,
and Diego Pavia just owns Hugh Freeze.
He does. That's
it's my favorite bit in the sport right now. It's a little JUCO guy from New Mexico has just been the one thing that this version of Hugh Freeze he can't get past. It's awesome.
Texter gets in and says, guys, our offensive line at Georgia is banged up. That's really the only reason I'm giving credence to Auburn having a chance in this game is because I think their defense is really good and really physical, and that front four is really good for Auburn.
And
Georgia's O-line is banged up, but still, I think it's a situation where Georgia has the better coach, Georgia has the better players at the majority of the positions, and I do think that this is going to be the first game where we start to see some of these guys off the edge get some pressure and get some push on the quarterback.
I also think, I think you will agree with me on this, I think Mike Bobo's called a very good offense this year.
He has.
And I do think with he and Gunnar Stockton, they can get the ball out pretty quickly.
Georgia.
That can negate a lot of things that Auburn wants to do with Keldrick Falk and some of those guys up front. Like, Gunnar could get it out quickly, and you've got, like, speed in Zachariah Branch and some of the reverse stuff with Dylan Bell. Like, I think that there's enough creativity. I can't believe I'm saying this. I can't believe, like, Mike Bobo's going to show enough creativity in this game to get them the win.
Yeah.
That he's going to be able to negate some of the bad pass pro from Georgia by the quick passing game.
which is insane. We're having real conversations here about Mike Bobo and creativity, and it's valid. I said this a couple weeks ago, too, after the Tennessee game, that I thought he called a great game. Heck, I didn't think he called a bad game in the slightest against Alabama. Gunner's dude smoked a wide-open touchdown. Like, they were going to run away with that if he would have caught that touchdown pass. Alabama scored 0 points in the second half of the game and found a way to win the football game. Like, that was not Mike Bobo's fault. Even on the whole fourth down, we're going to rush it up to the line of scrimmage. If the right tackle blocks, Cash Jones is still walking into the end zone because there was nobody within 15 feet of him, right? So I do like that point as well about how Bobo and Stockton seem to be much more on the same page than Bobo and Beck were. And I think Stockton's played good football. Catch it. Catch the football, Georgia, please. Please,
catch the football. We've been saying that for a while now.
Yeah. Can we get anybody that can catch it? Can we get anybody that can catch it? 654 Roar if you want to check in. We got a couple more games to talk about. We'll also talk a little about Clemson before we get out of here. And, like, we've got Bubba that's got in on the text line a couple times about the depth of the QB room and the development and Vezina, and is also kind of hinting at next season. We talked about that a lot throughout the last couple days of the program. I think it's fair to say at this point in time with what we've seen from Vezina that, you know, it wouldn't be a bad idea to try and delve into the transfer portal for a QB next year. But again, the hope is that we get more of an extended look at Vezina because Clemson continues to blow people out, right?
Right. And, you know, one, I understand where Bubba's coming from, wanting to already think about next year. I'm focused on Boston College. But if anything, what Christopher Vezina's play to me showcased last Saturday in Chapel Hill is validation for what Coach Sweeney has said. That after seeing Christopher Vezina play, I believe him when he says that they weren't ever close to making a change.
And they shouldn't have been.
No, they should not have been. Like, has Cade played good this year? No, he has not. But I still think there is a monumental gap for Christopher Vezina to overcome before he's pushing Cade Klubnik.
Yeah, and I always wrap back to it, and it frustrates the fans or a certain section of the fans at times. The guy that's being paid $12 million to win, more times than not, is going to play the best player, especially at the most important position on the field. And, like, this isn't a Cole Stout, Deshaun situation. This isn't a Trevor Lawrence, Kelly Bryant situation. The starting quarterback is a lot better than everybody else in the room, and frankly, it's not even close. So when we say that, I get that when Cade struggles, like, people are like, oh, they can't be telling the truth. Turn on the tape from the second half where you scored 3 points this past weekend if you don't think that's truthful, because it is, unfortunately. And it does leave you in a little bit of a pickle for next year, which we will discuss extensively this offseason.
Right.
Because we still got 7 games left on the schedule this year, John. So.
Absolutely. You still have more time to evaluate, more time to make that decision, but based on what it's showing thus far, I do believe your starting quarterback is not on the roster.
Texter says, what can Clemson do to improve the run game as a commitment? Because right now, it feels like we do well when we run it 20 times, or do we need to simplify the scheme for the O-line because they don't seem to get what we're asking them to do? I ask if we're going to continue this momentum because I believe Adam Randall and Davidson are a big part of that. We can't assume Cade will be going 24 for 26 every game. Yeah, I appreciate you getting in 279. I think the run game issues as of right now are strictly related to the offensive line, and that's why they're struggling. Like, I think there's missed assignments. I think there's just communication errors, and in totality, the pass blocking has not been good. The run blocking has been worse. And that's the biggest, like, we can say, Garrett, we need to run the ball. Garrett Riley, we need to run the ball. We need to stick to the run. We need to commit to the run. In all honesty, the further we get into the season, I'm starting to understand why they weren't running the ball against LSU. The offensive line was getting manhandled against LSU. Absolutely manhandled. And they've been manhandled up front at portions of all five of the games they played thus far, including Troy.
Yeah, no, and Texter gets in, John, what's easier for the offensive line, pass blocking or run blocking? I think it depends on the individual and depends on the scheme. And I think part of the issue with Clemson right now is you've yet to keep the same five on the field every single week.
Yes.
You have to be able to build continuity, and they're not able to do that right now. I also just think that, and this is tough for Garrett Riley and Matt Luke, and that's why it's not an easy job. I'm not in the room, so, like, I'm not cutting the film up with them, but, like, you may have a tackle who's better at zone blocking, but then a guard who's better at gap scheme next to a center. Like, everyone's skill sets may not all be the same, which can make it very difficult to have a cohesive unit with running the football and, you know, in pass protection. So I think it's just a continuous work in progress up front. And if you take a step back and look at offensive lines around the country that aren't in Eugene, Oregon, or in South Beach, A lot of that going on across the country right now. Just trying to figure out what your unit can do best. We talked about that with Georgia earlier. We talked about it with South Carolina. Like, there's a lot of offensive lines across the country right now that are still trying to figure out exactly what they do best. And it has hindered Clemson because you haven't been able to try out the same five back-to-back weeks.
Yeah, indeed. And I think that's a position group where cohesion and continuity are very important, and it's also about comfortability, right? We talk about communication on the offensive line and how that can cause issues. Well, when you're next to four guys that you're always next to, that's going to be a much more seamless line of communication. That's going to be a much easier and more comfortable thing for guys to get in comfort, a comfortable state and in rhythm with, and that's also going to help the quarterback, right, for knowing who his offensive linemen in front of him are going to be. So there have been a lot of issues. There have been a lot of injuries. We'll continue to unpack it and more. Final segment of the program on the other side. We'll be going around the horn, talking some college football, some NFL, and maybe a little bit of Major League Baseball as well.
The Clemson Tigers are shipping up to Boston this week to take on the Boston College Eagles, and we've got you covered right here on The Roar. Starting at 1:30 p.m. with the Eagles Tiger pregame show, then Faxon and his crew will take over live in studio at 4:30 with the Tiger tailgate show. Don, Tim, and Reggie will have the call of all the action, and Donnell Clark and I will get you to the finish line with the fifth quarter show. We are the voice of your Clemson football game day. We are The Roar, where every day is game day.
Attention Roar listeners, are you ready to drop up to 20 pounds or more by the new year? With our friends at PhD Weight Loss, they've cracked the code with their Metabolic Reset System, their science-backed method that gets your body to burn fat first, not sugar. They're the only program where they guarantee your success and your results, and I can speak to it because I lost over 50 pounds on the program 2 years ago. There's no starving, there's no endless workouts, and there's none of those risky drugs. Just a smarter system that resets your metabolism, shrinks that dangerous belly fat, and keeps it off forever. And for our listeners right now, they're making the deal even better. They'll waive your consultation fee. You'll get 2 extra weeks of the program for free. They'll even cover the cost of your food during the program. And just for booking, you'll receive their 5 Steps to Reset the Scale book for free. But don't wait. This guarantee and bonus package is only for the next 25 callers. That's right, the next 25 callers. So call 864-644-1900 right now and mention the code New Year. That's 864-644-1900. PhD Weight Loss. Reset your metabolism, lose the weight, and keep it off.
Straight Up Sports is simply all sports all the time. Straight Up Sports is a collection of retired and award-winning sports writers and sports broadcasters from around South Carolina.
Like Bob Gillespie from the State Newspaper,
Scott Kiefer from the Greenville News,
and Mark Sturges from ESPN Upstate.
Straight Up Sports is about the stories,
just like the days gone by, with no editors nor managers involved.
Check us out on Facebook or Twitter or online at straightupsports.net.
It's Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and Swamp Fox Distilling in Pendleton has partnered with The Roar, and we're raising money for Tigers for Tatas. Throughout the entire month of October, they're donating 50% of their sales of orange and vanilla all-in rum and all-pink merchandise. They also have raffle baskets that include rum bottles signed by head coach Dabo Sweeney and others. Visit Swamp Fox Distilling, located at 128 Exchange Street, downtown Pendleton on the Square. Open Thursday through Saturday from 2 to 7 p.m.
All right, are you tired of your dusty, cracked, and stained garage floor? Do what all your neighbors are doing and have it coated. But please, do yourself a favor and don't hire just anybody who says that they do floor coatings. You'll regret it. I'm Jake Wilson, owner of Iron Drive Floor Coatings, and we've been the premier concrete coating company in the upstate since 2011. We take pride in doing things the right way, with quality employees, equipment, and materials. You get the very best with Iron Drive. Visit our website today for a free quote at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Tiger fans, it's football time with fall almost here. Whether it's gearing up for game day, getting a jump on new fall styles, or taking advantage of summer closeouts up to 75% off, Elkmont is where you need to be. With great brands like On Clouds, Birkenstocks, Patagonia, Vuori, Z Supply, Back 70, Columbia, and more, Elkmont is located in Powdersville on Highway 153 and Clemson across from Bojangles, or online at elkmonttradingcompany.com. That's ELKMONT tradingcompany.com. Go Tigers!
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. The Beacon has served over 300 menu selections of burgers, barbecue, chicken, fish, and more for over 70 years. Jerry, what's been the most popular?
Chili cheese, I ain't playing tight. I need flounder. Cheeseburger like a burger, make it crust. Give me a bacon whip, no trim.
Had a feeling you'd say that. Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In. Drive-In, John B. White Senior Boulevard in Spartanburg.
Hey, Plante!
Standing 11 years running, Diamonds and Gold Direct has been named Anderson's Best Jewelry Store. From a vast selection of engagement rings to their designer collection, Diamonds and Gold Direct has earned their place as Anderson's Best. So stop in and see what makes Diamonds and Gold Direct your favorite jeweler. Diamonds and Gold Direct, Anderson's Best Jewelry Store, 11 years in a row, Main Street, across from the mall.
Diamonds and Gold Direct, we're your diamond source.
At Certified Diesel, we value keeping your diesel truck running smoothly and efficiently. Located at 2209 Highway 292 in Inman, South Carolina, we specialize in light-duty diesel truck repairs and maintenance. Whether you drive a Powerstroke, Cummins, or Duramax, our expert technicians have you covered. Avoid the hassle of dealership maintenance and choose us for all your diesel needs. Call and visit us today at 864-345-4568 or check out our services online at CertifiedDieselLLC.com.
The Roar. Better than any music you'll hear being put on hold. We promise. We are The Roar.
Final segment of the program here on a Wednesday with Fax and Childress and John Hyatt on 105.5 97.5 The Roar. 654 Roar is the number if you'd like to check in. Phone lines at Adams Co. Roofing text line will remain open for the final segment of the program if you'd like to beat the buzzer. Real quick before we hop into the action, go around the horn. Want to tell you about Carolina Top Dressing. It's where you need to go if your lawn has any needs in the year 2025. They're serving the upstate. They're bringing golf course type practices to your home. I suggest you go check out the website at www.carolinatopdressing.com to get the visual picture of what all they've been doing. Aeration, top dressing, dethatching, soil conditioning, mulch painting, and more. All of your lawn needs can be taken care of by experts at Carolina Top Dressing that are big Tiger fans and are active early and often in the community to help out in whatever way they can help out with. Go get yourself a free quote at CarolinaTopDressing.com. That's CarolinaTopDressing.com. And as always, the folks at Carolina Top Dressing say, go Tigers. John, final segment. You steer the ship. Where are we starting here with 12 minutes to go?
Real quick, I want to remind everybody where you can go in 12 minutes from now, and that's ACD Sports here in Easley. Out of Bounds is on location there this afternoon. Tigers for Tatas. Remember, you can text T4T to 53555 to make a donation. But go on by and go see Quack and Ben there at ACD Sports here in Easley. I was out at that remote last year. Great location, great people. Was able to purchase a wonderful outfit for my daughter last year at ACD Sports before she was born that she is now fitting into. Great place. Great people, so go on by and see them today. And tomorrow morning, Mickey Plyler will be at Eggs Up Grill in Clemson for the Tigers for Tatas as well. So a lot of opportunities to get out. We are just getting the party started here with Tigers for Tatas, so encourage you to get on out, donate, and go see Quack and Ben and Mickey Plyler tomorrow morning.
Go see Quack, Ben, Mickey Plyler tomorrow morning as well, and then Overtime with Ashby tonight from
correct.
7 to 8 for programming. And then tomorrow, do we have programming updates outside of Mickey Plyler?
Nothing. Out of Bounds will be on location. That is at the Embassy Suites area in Greenville. Ooh. Out of Bounds will be there tomorrow.
Must be nice.
For Tigers for Tatas there as well. So plenty of opportunities to get on out. And, you know, we will be at Chick-fil-A Friday morning getting ready for Clemson and Boston College.
Yes, definitely getting ready for Clemson and BC. A couple texters are getting in on some Clemson football-related topics like quarterback discourse and such. We'll keep that in the back pocket for tomorrow, but I'll hit this real quick. None of the national outlets have Cade as a top 50 QB anymore. Is it not concerning to you that we have a multi-million dollar quarterback room and can't even manage a top third of the country quarterback? Might be too loaded of a question for the final segment. I would say let the 12 games play the 12 games, and yes, let's get all of the stats and all of the data data points before we rush to conclusions, because while Cade has not performed at his top 50 level thus far this season, I am of the strong belief that we're going to get to the end of the year and there's going to be a little bit of a pendulum swinging act on him and his play. I know that it's been rough thus far, but again, Clemson should drill four or five of the teams remaining on their schedule and put up big-time numbers if this team is anywhere near good enough as we thought they were going to be in the preseason.
Sure, and I think it's a very fair question. I also think it's a fair question to ask the folks in Austin, Texas, to ask the folks in Gainesville, Florida, to ask the folks in Columbia, South Carolina. Like, there's a lot of quarterbacks who were very, very high in the preseason who are not delivering for the financial investments that have been made to them. I think it's just it's an interesting dilemma right now in college football.
Yeah.
Like, how do you build a quarterback room when so much is invested in one guy? I mean, Notre Dame just had this happen to them in this past offseason. They had so much invested in C.J. Carr that they had to let Steve Angeli walk. Steve Angeli just went and made millions. Syracuse unfortunately dealt with the injury, but it's very difficult to say, you have a multi-million-dollar quarterback room. Like, outside of Ohio State, I don't know, all those multi-millions you're referring to are really tied up in one player.
I was going to say,
that's the
ROI on Drew Aller has been worse than Cade Klubnik.
Yes. Well, it's maybe equal.
It's comparable.
It's comparable. I don't know what the dollars invested in him. I think it was a little, you would think it'd be a little bit more, but, is Texas getting their ROI on Arch Manning?
Not right now.
Are all the national outlets getting their ROI on Arch Manning?
Heck, is LSU getting their ROI on Garrett Nussmeier right now? Because he's been terrible for his standard.
Correct.
Is South Carolina getting their ROI on Lenore Sellers? I think he's played good football.
But they're not getting the ROI. No.
But you invest so much into one player, and you're about to look up after this weekend and have three losses on your resume, just like Clemson.
Is Arizona State, I know they're 4-1 right now, but do you feel like they're getting their full ROI on Sam Leavitt?
I don't think
he's been elite. I think he's been fine, but he hasn't been elite. He has, not the level of play that you had last year.
Yeah. So I think it's more of I'm in agreement with you, John. You look at all these top earners, and you look at all of the big names that were billed to be the top five picks, the top 10 picks of the preseason, all of them have fallen on their face.
I feel like Duke and Miami are the only two teams that are really winning on their ROI on their quarterback.
Yeah.
Right now.
Duke could have paid $28 million for Mensah, and it would have paid off with the way he's playing right now. And Carson Beck, that's been a great investment and a sound investment down there in Coral Gables. And the same thing, maybe Georgia, they've paid off their investment that they made in Gunnar Stockton to keep him in town, and that was also a two-pronged decision because they picked him over Beck, right? So there's just a lot going on. There's a lot going on in college football, and I do think that Texter 5-5 gets in and saying that a lot of these teams are overpaying and the market will correct himself. I agree with that. I think there's going to be some level of coming back to earth with these dollar signs at some point, right?
Maybe. But then again, if you're not willing to pay, there's always someone who is. So until there's not that someone else who's willing to pay the money, I don't know if the market will correct itself. I've been hoping for that. It would be nice to see.
You know who's getting their ROI? Aguilar has been pretty darn good for Tennessee.
He has been.
He surprised me this year. I like him. I think
he's
better than I realized, just based on what we saw at App State. But he's taken that level and he's ran with it. And another part of this thing with the quarterback discussion is, look at a team like Florida, dude. If you think Cade's been bad, I know that DJ Lagway just played a great game. Lagway was, in worst quarterback in the country conversations for a couple weeks there. And same to be said, I am a Lieva. I know he just got this big signature win. They lost 35-10 at home to New Mexico, and their whole coaching staff got fired immediately. So I get that, when you listen to our station, and we give a lot of Clemson-related content, which is a big part of our job as the flagship, and when you live in the world of Clemson football 24/7, it can, change your view as to, what the quality of play is at quarterback here versus elsewhere. Clemson is not the only team and program that is encountering these issues this year at the quarterback position. They just aren't. It's not anywhere close, even. So that's not defending Cade. That's not saying he's played at an acceptable level or an acceptable standard or should be praised for his play thus far this season. It's just one of those things where it's Clemson's not the only one dealing with this problem, guys. There's a ton of these big-dollar QBs that have, failed to live up to their investment thus far, and it's a problem that we're going to continue to see throughout the course of college football as we continue to delve deeper and deeper into this world of finances. Texter gets in and says, have you actually watched Sam Levitt play this year? Holy cow. Some good and some bad. I think that Levitt's a really good player that makes two or three decisions a game that get him in trouble. But man, is that kid a freaking warrior? I'll tell you what. Holy. He's putting his body on the line. He's, you know, crashing into people, taking on linebackers one-on-one in the gaps. If Levitt can, like, and again, part of this is going to be maturation as a player. He's still just a redshirt sophomore or whatever, and he's got to continue to grow. If Levitt can get that turnover bug out a little bit, you're talking about one of the best players in the country out in Tempe. So I definitely like him. I think he's a good player, but he's definitely a little bit of risk it for the biscuit, if you will, with some of that decision-making. He puts the ball in jeopardy a couple times a game. Sometimes it hurts
and
him,
and that's
sometimes
what I meant about, like, with him, is you got to cut down some of those turnovers because there weren't all that much last year with him.
Yeah, no, Levitt, I like Arizona State. It's going to be interesting to see how they fare the rest of the way. Let's get Frank in Greenville in here before the end of the program. Frank, we only got a couple minutes before the end of the show, but thanks for getting in. Appreciate the call.
Hey, yeah, no problem. Hey, look, on the quarterback thing you're talking about, you know, if you take a, if you look at him, I mean, y'all realize this as well as I do, but the guys who are not doing well are the ones who stayed at the school. The ones that transferred, the transfer guys are the ones that are wearing it out. You know, Carson Beck, the guy at Duke.
Yeah.
Guy at Tennessee.
And the guy at Missouri and Pribula, too, who left from Penn State to go to Mizzou, he's faring pretty well as well. That's actually a pretty good point, Frank, that I hadn't thought about.
Yes. In other words, you know, the guys that transferred, they'll say, hell, I got to earn my keep. The guys that sit back, they just say, man, I just got to count my money.
Yeah, I think there's some legitimacy to that, and retention has been viewed as more of a positive in 2025 collegiate athletics than a negative, but I do think there's something to be said about that, Frank, right, where it's the human factor, where you're going into a new environment and you feel like you have to earn your stripes and pay your dues and earn the respect of the locker room. I think that's a lot of that for some of these transfer portal quarterbacks is you're responsible for all 100-plus guys in your locker room, and they feel even more incentive to earn that level of respect from their teammates.
Yeah, for sure. And where the guys who just stayed at the schools, you know, they feel they've already earned their dues.
Yeah, I think there's some legitimacy to that. Hey, Frank, appreciate the phone call. Get back in with us more often if you can.
All right, take it easy.
Yeah, take care. That's a pretty good point. A lot of these transfer portal quarterbacks are accepting Mendoza over at Indiana. He's been very good. Dante Moore, you know, it is his second year with the program, but he was at UCLA originally, Mateer at Oklahoma. You look down these top 10 teams. I just want to do an exercise real quick, just out of curiosity. I'm doing this in real time as well. I'm going to look through the top 10 teams and look at who's playing quarterback and whether they retained him or whether there's a transfer portal guy. Ohio State, that's their recruit, and that's Julian Sain. It goes without saying that that's going to be, you know.
But he was a transfer?
Was he a transfer? Oh, yeah, from Alabama.
He went to Alabama.
For a semester.
Wasn't even a semester. He was an early enrollee. Nick Saban announced his retirement, was immediately in the portal and taking winter classes at Ohio State.
So, yeah.
I think he was on campus there about as long as Bubba Chandler was at Clemson. Like, I think they had equal length of stints.
So, yeah, that's right. No, he is a transfer. I'd forgotten about that. So, AP top 25, we're going to go through the 10. Transfer portal QB at number one, Miami. Carson Beck, transfer portal quarterback. Number three is Oregon, transfer portal quarterback. Number four is Ole Miss, transfer portal quarterback. Number five is Texas A&M. Reed's not a portal kid, right? Reed was Texas A&M recruit.
He was an A&M recruit, yes.
All right, so that's our first retaining QB of the top 10. Oklahoma at number six, Mateer, transfer portal quarterback from Washington State. Indiana, transfer portal quarterback in Mendoza coming over from California. Then you've got Bama, Ty Simpson is homegrown. You've got Georgia, where homegrown Gunnar Stockton, and then Texas. Was Morton there the whole time?
Texas Tech, no, Barry Morton has been at some, I can't remember where else he's been, but he is a transfer, I believe.
I want to say that that's correct as well. Let me check on his stats real quick. I want to say that maybe he was committed elsewhere or something. I know he's been in the program a couple years now, but all of that to be said, a minimum of seven of your top 10 teams
in
America
right now? No,
he's only
been at Texas Tech.
He's only been at Texas Tech? Okay,
wow.
So 7-3 is the split at the top 10? Seven
yes.
Portal kids, three kids that have been retained.
I don't know why in the world I thought there was a semester at Oregon in there somewhere, but
it feels like they've got a ton of guys that 100%.
We have 1 minute left. I want to get your gut reaction on a quote that was given at ACC basketball kickoff Clemson guard Dylan Hunter. National championship. We have it written all over the board. I feel like at Clemson we have a different motto now. Early on, it was just, we're going to the tournament, but now we're trying to win national championships, end quote.
Good. I mean, the expectation should be reset and should be adjusted at this program because Brad Brownell has elevated this program into the national spotlight. When you win 20-plus games 3 years in a row, when you make the tournament in two of those 3 years, and when you go to the Elite Eight, you get a reset button on what your expectations are for a program, and there's the expectation to sustain and to continue to grow and kind of extend what your ceiling is. So, good. That should be the mentality. Do I think Clemson's good enough to win the national championship this year on paper? Probably not, but I want every guy in that locker room believing that they are, because that's how something special can happen. John, great job on the program today. Passing things off to William Quackenbush and Ben Millsap with Out of Bounds. See you at 9 a.m. tomorrow.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson, WAHT-AM 15.